Five, four, three, two, one.
Liftoff.
Liftoff. And here, we are. All right. We're back. We're very happy to be back. We're here on the pinball couch in the occult room. And you are listening to the Electric Batcast, a pinball podcast about operating a pinball arcade.
That is correct.
Do you think that's accurate?
I feel like that's a good assessment of both where and what we are doing.
Good deal. Right on. Before we got on here, I was reading some pinball news. And I know we don't usually get into pinball news because so many other podcasts do it.
Yep.
And they do a great job.
Yep.
And we're filling the void of, operating and the business side of it.
That's right.
Something very interesting I read on the NAP website. He seems to think that American Pinball has the He-Man license, and they're going to release a He-Man machine, seeing as that is, I think, your Grail machine. That is your
Are you serious?
Well, yeah. I'm serious that I read that. I don't know if it's actually going to happen, but, I mean, he seems to think very strongly that American has He-Man. Are you okay?
I feel my heart rate right now.
Oh my God. This is your dream machine.
I don't know if people are watching, if they can see like the tears forming in my eyes that I'm really trying to not have on camera.
Tell me what's... No, I'm being very serious. What's going on in your head right now?
Devastation.
Oh.
You know, so people that don't know, our bedroom is full of original He-Man cells that I have, have now.
And for those of you who don't know, the cells are the original animation art.
Yeah, this is originally what was used to make the show,
and you own a bunch of that. You are one of the biggest He-Man fans I know of. When you were small, you were younger, you were little, and they canceled He-Man, the He-Man cartoon. You freaked out, and your mom wrote
a letter
to the network.
Yeah.
Open letter to the network.
She wrote a letter on my behalf because I was too small to write a letter at that time.
Okay, so I guess you're not excited because American may be releasing this, and this was your grail, this was your dream machine.
This is my dream machine, and I can't imagine how it's going to... I need them to make like a 900% improvement in reliability. Mm-hmm. So that I can purchase... This is the machine I would buy the LE of. This is that machine for me. Mm-hmm. And to know that it's coming out from a manufacturer that I don't have as much faith in as the other ones is... I mean, this is one... If Jersey Jack made this, I would pay the ridiculous amount. Like
$35,000.
Yes, trade in a vehicle for the top of the line. That is how much I love He-Man.
Okay. Well, I always like to look at the good side, and looks like I just saved you a bunch of money.
Thanks, Geico.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe let's all do what we can to help American improve.
Man, I don't know if thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. On to the Batcast. This is episode 14.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
Wow, did we get a lot of feedback from episode 13. This was
Episode 13 was amazing, right?
It was great. We got so many letters, so many emails.
I had the most fun doing that one.
It was a lot of fun.
It was very cool to directly comment on that Reddit thread, and mm-hmm. and we got more comments on that episode than any other episode. And thank you for all of your comments, whether it be in social media, Discord, email. We got some long, we got the longest emails we've ever received.
Many
before.
Of them, yeah.
From we got one from David Keats and some other folks.
Very nice,
great. Yeah, we'll touch on some of that stuff.
Just so people that if this is the first episode or they missed that last episode, mm-hmm. the brief synopsis is that it was about people wanting to open up arcades or barcades mm-hmm. that.
Pinball cafes.
Excuse me. Yeah. Pinball cafes that may or may not have alcohol without really any experience in that and how that seems to be such a trend. And I will also say that since that episode, we have had even more people come up to us saying virtually the same thing. Hey, I don't have any pinball machines, or I have one pinball machine, and now I'm going to start a business just like yours.
And we told them, you need to go re-listen or re-watch episode 13.
Yeah.
We'd be glad to help anybody out as far as we could do. I mean, we're not going to invest in anybody's arcade, but any knowledge we can pass along, we are... Yeah. We're fully open.
Yeah, we're excited for more arcades. Yep. This is not about suppressing people's dreams. It's about being able to do justice to such a cool thing.
100%.
Kind of cycles back around to our original topic.
right. Let's get on to the mailbag. But this isn't really, this is more like the IRL bag. Because these are some questions and comments I got at the arcade.
Okay.
This is a really interesting one. I don't know the answer to it because you're the one that keeps track of numbers. What machines fell short of your expectations?
Off the top of my head, two. Mm-hmm. Godfather and Avengers.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with Godfather because that was a game, that was the first Jersey Jack we actually purchased. We had two other ones in there, but...
those were other people's.
That's correct. And... I was really excited. We both played it at the same time at Game Room Goodies in their showroom. Check them out, gameroomgoodies.com. That's where we get all our machines, and you should too. And we were just blown away.
Yeah, it's a fun game. And to be mm-hmm. clear, this is not a disappointment in the gameplay. I enjoy playing Godfather.
Right.
And Avengers, also, not a comment on gameplay, just a comment on earnings.
Right. So they seem, when they were new... Well, we didn't have Avengers when it was new, but I would imagine it'd be the same mm-hmm. kind of deal with Godfather. You know, the first month and a half killed it.
Yes.
And then there was a steep drop.
Very steep.
Yeah. Godfather's kind of one of those games, it's an acquired taste, I think. Because there are some super fans.
There's a lot of depth.
There's a lot of depth, yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Those two. Next question I got at the arcade... Will we get ABBA?
No.
No ABBA?
Nope.
I have no experience with, what else do they have? Queen?
They have Queen and they have Alien.
Right. Alien, super cool game. I like playing it. But everyone we've ever played has some kind of malfunction that the operator cannot really figure out.
And we've played Queen a few times at shows, or at least I have.
We played Queen when it was released.
Over a year ago, a year and a half
ago. At Expo, yeah. And that was fun. Mm. So no ABBA.
No ABBA.
Okay. This is not a... I have this in the notes, because I've been watching a lot of other pinball podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I want to suggest to everybody. If you're going to be on a podcast, get a nice mic. And, you know, you don't have to spend... I mean, this is very expensive equipment. You know, with this hooked up to all that, you know, it's probably around $1,000. But there are some incredible USB microphones.
They're very cheap.
And the reason I bring this up, I'm not gonna call anybody out. This is good information for whoever is going to be on a podcast, and if you're going to be a guest on a podcast, look into at least a nice USB mic. And there are plenty out there. I just, in my notes, I have one called a Fafine AM8, which...
what's Fafine?
That's the company.
F-I-F-I-N-E. Okay.
A great USB budget microphone. I watched two podcasts. I said I wasn't going to call anybody out, but...
Okay.
No, well, I just... This one was just so horrible. David Fix and Stephen Bowden were on the Loser Kid podcast, and it was almost like comedy. It was just so horrible. I think they were using the camera and the microphone from a very low end laptop, and especially for these guys, I mean, they're trying to recover from so many blunders, and yeah. And they just like it just shows that you just really don't care. I mean. You're a company who has the backing of a gigantic electronics company. Get $500 worth of equipment, so you know you don't look like a couple of rubes, right?
Yeah. So basically, what you're saying is that if your mic and your equipment is, don't let your equipment get in the way of your message, because if all you're hearing is room noise and like staticky stuff and
right.
It makes it very hard for people to focus on what you're actually saying.
100%. And I, I tried to watch this mm-hmm. video because I'm interested in what, you know, these guys have to say, if they're going to turn things around. And it was just like unlistenable.
Yeah.
It was like really bad. And don't be caught up on that. And for you podcasters, educate your guests, you know, that, I mean, I would have stopped that. If I was running that podcast, I would have stopped it right there and be like, guys, this is embarrassing. You have to have the balls to do that. I mean, you
have both more balls and more technical mm-hmm. knowledge about gear than like most people combined.
You talking about me?
You.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You, Kale. So what I'm trying to do is imagine myself mm-hmm. As kind of the analog half of
right,
us.
Right.
If I was doing like, hey man, I really want to start a podcast, how much would I have noticed that? How long would it be before I would notice that mm-hmm. I like, man, why don't I sound as good as everyone else? What can I do about that?
And sure.
You know, I have sympathy for the people that mm-hmm. don't. So I'm glad that you're kind of showing people like here's one that you can look up.
Right. This is presentation. And, you know, this
yeah.
is, you know, brushing your teeth, putting on some deodorant, dressing nicely before you go meet somebody. I mean, this is going out to the world.
Yeah.
You know, let's act like it.
And it's going to be there for a while.
Right. And even if, you know, David Fix and Stephen Bowden don't care. The guys from the Loser Kid podcast have been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. They should. Hey, let's pump the brakes and do this tomorrow. We'll mail you a microphone. I mean, it was that bad. But it's not just them. I listened to two other podcasts from different folks where they had on people from two of the biggest. One of the biggest pinball manufacturers out there. Same deal. Like, get a good USB microphone. They're real cheap. Just you go to YouTube and listen to some reviews. The Fafine AM8 is a great one, a great budget one. And if you want to go to the next level without having to spend $1,000, you can always, this microphone has been around forever. When I was touring, this was like a standard, but the Shure SM58.
Shure, S-H-U-R-E, right?
Yeah, SM58. Mm-hmm. It's a $99 microphone, brand new. I bet you can find it for like $50 used, Craigslist or whatever, and they're built like a tank. I mean, you could throw them in a box, you know, no protection. They're ready for the road. That plus some kind of interface, even just a cheap interface, like, you know, a Focusrite or something like that. That's an amazing setup. And you will sound crystal clear. Your voice will have some body. Let's do this. Let's sound good on the internet. There you go. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Let's get back to pinball. Okay. But this was about pinball, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing right now. This goes to David Keats' email. He sent us a long email.
Okay.
Fan of the show. because I think, was it on the last episode we were talking about coin drop versus cards?
Oh, we've talked about it so many times, though.
He brings up local laws not allowing coin drop or taxing it so hard where it just doesn't make sense. I think in his specific example, and write in and correct me if I'm wrong, but there were some areas where there's legacy laws that still think of coin drop stuff and pinball and some amusement stuff as gambling. Mm-hmm. So they either, you know, the licensing fees are so incredibly high, it really doesn't make sense.
Was this the email where they said that you couldn't have more than two coin op machines in a location? Because we did get several emails to this point.
That may have been it. Yeah. So the answer is free play.
Right.
And then it's not coin drop.
Right.
Ha-ha. There you go, law.
And certainly, like, mm-hmm. of course, that makes a lot more sense for a lot of the southern states too. Still have those laws that make it difficult or impossible to operate profitably.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's still like this, but when we were in South Carolina, it was like almost like $300 for 2 years.
I was thinking it was $200
per machine.
Yeah, that's
so. If we were doing that with 60 machines. I mean,
that's just some of the pinball machines. Right now, just in the Tempe location, there's 75 machines. So that would be $7,500 a year, $15,000 at a time, just to mm-hmm. pay for, I mean, you're already starting at negative $15,000 without even any of your equipment costs. And absolutely, that makes no sense. We would 100% be a free play arcade if that were the case for us. Our laws where we are is it's $20 a year per machine to license.
What a deal.
Much better.
Love an AZ.
Much more reasonable.
You know, in South Carolina, it's still illegal for anyone under 18 to play a pinball machine.
They still haven't changed that.
It's not enforced, but it's interesting. It's on the books.
Yeah. They'll get you if they want you.
Yeah, if they're looking for you, they'll find you. We got a really cool question from Manny's Arcade. Manny's Arcade, this was on Instagram, but he also has a cool YouTube channel. Go check him out. And this goes into the price of pinball, not like coin drop, the price to purchase.
Okay.
Is pinball for the 1% now?
Well, I would consider myself very far from the 1%, especially when I started. I mean, like, I'm not even close to 1%. Mm. Beans and rice kind of stuff.
Ramen.
But if I was going to be buying brand new machines mm-hmm. and paying somebody else to fix them, mm-hmm. then maybe it is a 1% hobby. But if you're, you know, I bring up a car argument, right? Mm-hmm. Like, fix an old beater.
Right. I wish I had, when I got this question, I went to a interest calculator. Mm-hmm. Not interest, I'm sorry. What's the word I'm looking for?
Inflation.
Inflation calculator, thank you so much. I've been on it so much you would think I would remember that, but I've been remembering numbers.
You've been doing great.
Blowing your mind.
Yeah. Excellent.
Inflation calculator, and I put in, and I wish I had the details, I can't remember what they were, but it all made sense. I put in the original cost, purchase price of like an Addams Family, a Medieval Madness, and all that stuff, and we were like,
It was pretty close.
It was pretty close, sometimes under.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to think, I think lots of people have the wrong idea about these. These are not NES games.
Right.
This is not an Xbox. You're purchasing a commercial piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And the price reflects that.
Right.
Right.
Happens to be a toy.
Right. And a lot of people like, you know, to fill their home arcade with these things. And man, that's expensive, especially if you're not, there's no return on the investment.
Right.
So if this is a 1% thing now, it's always been a 1% thing, I think.
I mean, I knew almost nobody. I will say I didn't know anybody that had a pinball machine or an arcade game in their home until I was in my 30s,
right.
I think.
Right.
So, I mean, it like this sure. is not a thing that people have ever really mm-hmm. had in their homes because it's a commercial piece of equipment. Right. Like,
right.
That's how it is.
I think, like, people complaining about the price of a pinball machine kind of reminds me. It's like people complaining that they can't afford a Viking range.
Ooh, I'd like to have one of those.
Oh, yeah, I would too. But it's like, you know, there are, you know.
Yeah, expensive things cost more.
Right. I mean. And plus, this is one of the rare industries that was never sent offshore.
Right.
You know, you're still talking.
Well, it was.
Oh, you're talking about with the Jetsons?
Thunderbirds.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Not Jetsons was... That's Spooky, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking of Thunderbirds. Sorry, Spooky. You guys are doing good. yeah, it was, and that was a big flop, and people... And it just felt cheap, and...
Remember when we played at the Pinball Museum in Banning, mm-hmm. and the ball came down the habit trail and just stopped because mm-hmm. The piece of the wire form had not either been cut or formed in a circle. So it was going down this sort of circular path and then hit a square.
Yeah.
So.
That's no good.
Made in America. Let's keep it that way.
yeah. And that's another thing that, you know, that's you're going to get a well-working product.
Yeah, there's also not a... there's not like a hobbyist, like a less expensive... home version. I mean, there's like the $500 Costco things and mm-hmm. Zizzles and stuff like that, but that's really a poor reflection on the real thing.
Sure.
So even the home machines, which, you know, the less expensive real versions are still
that's
incredibly
still
expensive.
$4,000 to $5,000.
But, right. And it's still possible to get cheaper machines, fix them up, send them on their way,
oh,
and upgrade
fantastic.
To new ones.
That's, yeah, Classic Bally. Grab one of those, old Gottlieb. You know, when I was a kid, I actually do remember running into pinball machines. There was just a couple, and it was like always a situation of like a local bar closed, and we ended up with it. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was like I never hung out with people that just had pinball machines in their homes, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. I think that sums all that up.
it's not really any more for the 1% than it used to be, despite right. I would say that the, you know, 12,000 and plus mm-hmm. LEs are maybe for the 1%, mm-hmm. but it's an even fancier version of a very fancy thing to begin with.
Right. Let's move on to questions. Really, really good questions from Discord, from Gutter Ghoul.
Okay.
Gutter Ghoul always has these very...
The resident questioner.
Man, he has some incredible questions. We'll start off with the first one. Are there any benefits in having a relationship with a distributor as an operator? Is it discounted pins or a rent-to-own option? Is it just first pass on machines and a familiar face to work with?
Depends on the distributor. Right?
Yeah.
Some of them you have great relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me. Happy birthday, Zach Maney.
Oh, yeah.
It was his birthday
yesterday. Yeah, happy birthday, buddy.
One great distributor. Our distributor, our main distributor, Game Room Goodies, has been fantastic to work with, mm-hmm. and they do provide a lot of advantages, right? They know that we are going to order
mm-hmm.
Every machine, so we don't have to, like, call. It's just already done for us.
Right.
And they have given us... When we first started out, we had some financial options that were very generous that mm-hmm. helped us out and made it. So now, you know, it's made us very reliable customers of theirs. And
yep.
So that's worked out well for both of us. And I do like having that relationship. Like Aaron at Game Room Goodies will weld something for me. If I need some like Mandalorian diverter part, like, that day, mm-hmm. I can take it down there, he'll weld it for me, and I'll get that machine back on the floor running right away instead of having to wait for that to become in stock somewhere or whatever else. So there's
for sure.
There's those advantages. I would imagine if we were LE people, you know, having that relationship with the distributor is really important, mm-hmm. right? To get your LE allotment, to get yours out of the allotment. Can you think of any other
Well, just having the relationship, having some, using somebody local, mm-hmm. so you have some face time with them, is super important. And but, you know, not every distributor is going to be like Game Room Goodies is to us. These guys go above and beyond,
And not just to us,
like right, not just to us. We've heard them doing some going above and beyond for just regular customers, people that just buy one machine from them.
Right,
they really do some stuff I have never seen any distributors do, and I think that's why it's. I mean, it just makes sense, especially if you are in business, you have to create a fantastic relationship with, and I think it's very important to get a local distributor.
Right.
For example, with Game Room Goodies, they will come and set up the machine for you.
Yeah.
And lots of times we can't wait and we want to get it, so we go pick it up.
Yeah, we'll go pick it up.
Yeah, we go pick it up. But
get it 2 days earlier.
The repairs, the support, yeah.
Parts,
yeah.
All that. But I would say in any business, it's important to have mm-hmm. good relationships with all of the people you work with, mm-hmm. right? Like right. if it's not just the distributor that we have good relationships, it's also the parts suppliers. Mm-hmm. We can call them and say, hey, you don't have this. Can you get it?
If you right.
know, let me know. There's just a lot of, all of those business relationships are very important. And it's
certainly
important to be good to those people too.
And
right?
Well, not only the distributor and parts manufacturers, but the manufacturers.
Right.
You know, once you get in this business for a certain amount of time, it's, you know, you really get close to their customer service to where you're not having to do support tickets and everything. It's just like you send a text message and
right.
the part is in the mail.
Right.
They know you need to get that machine up and running because you're trying to make money with this thing.
And they know that you know a little something about what you're talking about. So they're not going to run you through the basic, did you try turning it off and on again?
They're not going through the binder.
Right.
Right.
Like, they're this is right. Kale. He's done this before. This is
right.
really not working. We need to do something.
Right. Good deal. This is a good question for you because I think it has to do with the conventions in which you've been on both sides of.
All sides.
Yep. Four conventions. And just as a contributor, what are the hurdles and benefits? Are they like merch, where it's mostly a marketing investment? How much is involved in attending? So, like, if we were going to have like a booth or something,
okay.
I think that's what he's asking.
If you're a business doing conventions, certainly exposure,
mm-hmm.
Having. You know, getting to see a bunch of people, more fun times with people who like the thing you do,
right.
introducing new folks to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Cost, when I'm thinking about cost, about us doing...
It's a mixed bag as far as... is it a local convention or do you have to put 10 people on an airplane? Or?
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
The conventions where we are just taking stuff down in a truck, 5 miles away from the arcade versus the conventions we used to do on the Marco Specialties side.
Right.
Where it would be us and a bunch of other people exactly on a plane mm-hmm. doing pallets on FedEx, all the labor of the 16-hour days.
Right.
Getting that. I mean, those were hard, hard days.
Mm-hmm.
Fun, very fun,
sure.
But man, that's exhausting. But I think it's always about putting your face out there and just, it's mm-hmm. a celebration too.
Right.
And if you're a contributor, just, if you're not a business, if you're a person bringing games to a local convention, it's a way of just sharing, right? It's like mm-hmm. having a dinner party where every, like a gigantic potluck with
yep.
much, much heavier dishes.
It's not Tupperware.
Yeah.
It's 300-pound pinball machines.
Right. You got to do a little labor bringing the machine and sharing it with the people. But then in exchange, you get into the convention for free
mm-hmm.
and you get to be a part of it. And
yep.
that feeling of being a part of something can't be underestimated. It's really cool to feel like these are my people. Look, I did this too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. You get a little badge, a little laminate. You feel good walking
yeah.
around.
Yeah. This is something to be proud of. I mean, not the laminate itself.
Right. For sure. And Gutter Ghoul's third question, are there any pins you don't have that you wish you had? Are they just hard to track down, hard to find in usable shape, or just not a good fit for the arcade?
We've talked about this a little bit. Bally Viking, Gottlieb.
That's what you want.
Jacks to open.
Frontier.
I would like a Frontier. Uh-huh. I don't have any modern games on my wish list. I have all of those that I want.
Right.
Yeah.
You know mine.
What's yours?
Well, I like the weird import games. I think my grail game is Black Fever.
Yeah.
I have the back glass.
Yeah.
I have a beautiful back glass, which you framed for me.
I did.
I have that in the studio. And I like all of those really weird, what is it, like Terrific Lake?
Terrific Lake, yeah.
I like, Rob Burke has an amazing collection of these weird import games. Yeah. There are a bunch of cool ones at Wormhole. You can see them, they played on the stream there in Texas. So I like all those weird ones. And I actually have one called Devil King.
Yes.
That is mostly working. I think the displays, last time I plugged it in, the displays went out. It's probably just a connector. But like, I like those
games. Do you
think
you'd like those if they were if they were common? Do you think the rarity, how much does the rarity play into?
It's totally about the rarity.
Yeah.
Because you just never see them. And then when you see them on location, you're like, oh, this is a big deal. I'm putting a couple of bucks in this.
One of the cool things about the Devil King is how you can see that all of the art was stolen from all different stuff to the point where you see the scan lines in the back glass of where somebody scanned the record.
The coolest thing about Devil King artwork, like, after having the machine, we started noticing the art in other places.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, you know, some science fiction accounts I follow on Instagram. Yeah. Holy crap, this is that art. Yeah. They stole it.
Yeah, the Journey, Scarabs on the side. I mean, it's just a collage of theft.
Right.
Collage of thievery.
Yeah.
Devil King.
So if anybody wants to make me really happy, let me know where an inexpensive Black Fever is.
Or Terrific Lake.
Yeah. You know, it's the only machine with an 8-track. That's what I think is very cool.
Is it?
Black Fever, yeah.
I didn't know that. I know there's plenty of EM shooters with 8-tracks.
Oh, are there others with it?
Electromechanical ones.
Okay,
yeah, there's
shooting. Okay. But I think this might be the only pinball machine. But if not, viewers, let me know. Write in to electricbatarcade@gmail.com or join the Discord and let's argue about it. Now, we haven't even mentioned this, you know, and I should have to keep people around. You know, that's what good television and radio does. But we're a little late. You have the earnings report.
Oh, yes, the earnings report. I was wondering, like, where's he going with this?
And
because I really don't know. You have this all kind of. I'm just here.
I'm the producer. You're just here for the ride.
I just follow along.
What month is this for?
This is for March of 2024.
Do you want to start at 10? I think you should start at 10. I'm running the show.
Okay.
Can you do that?
I can.
Okay. Anything you want to like preface this piece? This is, we'll call it a segment. Do you want to preface this segment with anything? Or?
This has some interesting. This is interesting numbers, if not for the very first one, which is number 10. Now we keep track of earnings for both the Flagstaff location and the Tempe location. But
okay.
The Tempe location is the flagship. Not to be confused with Flagstaff. It's the main location. This is where we have all the tournaments. This is where the big parties happen. This is where the earnings are made.
This is where the magic happens.
It's where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. However, this month, a Flagstaff machine made it into the top 10.
For the first time?
For the first time ever. I mean, it's never even been close.
Okay.
I don't know why.
What is it?
Godzilla. Godzilla Pro.
Godzilla Pro.
Yeah.
In Flagstaff.
Yeah.
First time to make the list here.
The top 10. Yeah.
How about that?
I mean, who knows? Number 9, Scooby-Doo is back on the floor and people were happy to see it. So.
Scooby-Doo, cool machine.
It's a lot it's a lot of fun.
Right. And it's big. It's beautiful. You know, it's a wide body and it just got a code update. And I know a lot of people were excited about that.
Yes.
I've only played it once since the code update, but I would like to sink into it. Good job, Spooky, for making the earnings report.
Yeah. Another game that just got put back onto the floor, Monster Bash.
Okay. That's number eight?
That's number eight. Yeah. So anytime a machine goes away for a minute, people are happy to see it come back.
Yeah. And that's a good lesson for operators. If you do have inventory, switch
rotate
it.
Rotate it.
I mean, that's kind of like retail 101.
Right.
Keep things fresh.
Every time you go into the Trader Joe's, if you do it every time, people will go crazy.
Yep.
But maybe every 3 months,
they'll put the bananas in a different place.
It out. Make people look for it, and then they'll find some other things that they like.
There you go. And this is a Monster Bash. I believe it's a remake LE.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
Beautiful machine.
Yeah. Another great looking machine.
Mm-hmm.
Our cash game of the month last month was Stranger Things. It comes in at number 7. Anytime you can incentivize somebody to play a game, that game will make more money. So, lo and behold.
I love that. And this month's cash game is Stern's Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so head to Electric Bat Arcade, find Jurassic Park, drop in 2 credits, and hit that glowing tournament button for your chance to win some money. I think it's at about like $65 right now.
I didn't check it yesterday, but yeah, it was. It's getting up there. And Jurassic Park is a great game to do it on because by now everybody knows at least the basics.
They know
of what
the
you're
rules,
gonna do.
And there's different strategies.
Yeah,
And people like to get into that. Yeah.
Cash game, real quick. Mm-hmm. How's it work?
So first you have to purchase a tournament button.
Right. And you can get that from Margo Specialties.
Yep. Valued sponsor of the show. Go to MarcoPinball.com or MarcoSpecialties.com. I think they both are routed to the same place.
$8 somewhere around there.
And pick
little
up
square tournament button.
Yep. Or call their customer service and ask them for it. Because I know there's a couple of different versions. And there was one that worked on Sam but wouldn't work on Spike, but would work on both. And I can't.
It has to do with the size of the spade connectors.
That's right. But call customer service just to make sure you're getting the right one. Get the tournament button. It's very easy to install. There's already a hole in the cabinet. If you look below the start button, there's a little like a plastic plug.
Mm-hmm.
And you just pop that out, put your tournament button in, connect it up. It comes with instructions.
It's very quick.
Yep.
It takes me like less than 5 minutes.
Right. And then you go into your settings and you find it's called like
tournament.
Yeah. And then you can set it up from there.
Mm-hmm. And we choose to do the high score. There's another one. It defaults to something called bump and win. We never do that.
Mm-hmm.
High score is what makes sense.
And it works for us. And people, not only do people love it, but they end up making money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. For us, the winner averages about $50,
mm-hmm.
sometimes up to $75, depending on how popular it is. And we do the top three. You can set it to whatever number of people you want.
Right. And this works on Stern machines, Spike 2, Spike 1, Sam, and I think White Star.
Wow.
I think.
I don't know about that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for a really long time.
It has.
For something that you don't... I think it didn't get the promotion that it should have when it first became a feature.
Because you remember when you buy the kit back in the day, it came with the sign, the topper.
Yeah, the little topper says tournament play.
And so many people thought that set up a button to put your game into tournament play, which would traditionally take away the randomness of a game and all this stuff. But that's not the case. This is
it's a whole separate thing.
It's a whole separate thing.
Number 6.
Mm-hmm.
This one is kind of a mistake now that I'm looking at it because I didn't actually take earnings from part of the month before because the game was off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters.
Ooh.
So really that's probably, as I adjusted my head, the numbers real quick, that was number 10. Everything else is pushed up.
Oh, okay.
But still.
But now, Gus, yeah. Okay, I got you. I'm following you.
Mm-hmm. Number 5. Now we're into the traditional top 5.
Mm-hmm.
This one blows my mind. Number 5 is Venom.
Cool.
Yeah. people came back to it.
What do you think that was about? Because I've noticed more people playing that, and it's showing up on streams more in tournaments.
I think that's probably your answer, right? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people who enjoy tournaments, mm-hmm. and that's a game that they maybe haven't spent so much time with,
right?
And it's popular again.
Right. And it's a very cool, like, it was in the finals of our most recent tournament.
Yeah.
The series finale. And it was cool to see people's strategies, because you can do so many different things with this. Are you going to just go ahead and knock out the two-ball, multi-ball, and get some quick points? Are you going to build it up?
Do a six-ball,
Yeah, it goes all the way to, like, a six-ball, multi-ball.
I don't have the faith in my abilities to do that.
But if you give me a two-ball, multi-ball, I'm going to play it, you know?
I've never seen you pass up a multi Aerosmith, all those. You don't ever delay the multi ball.
Yeah, so solid game. And for that tournament series, congratulations to Roland.
Once again.
Is that five in a row for
five
him?
Five in a row.
Five. Somebody come down here and give him some competition. I know we had Colin was in town recently playing some games. We need to get him to move out here, because I know there's a satellite office for his job here. We need somebody to come out here and give Roland some competition, man.
He's so good. He is so good. And it wasn't a runaway win. People are giving him competition, but he's just got that special touch that's able to pull it out. Numbers 3 and 4 were virtually tied, but in fourth place is Elton John.
People are loving this machine.
Another beautiful game.
Still, and is this month 3 for Elton?
Yes.
Okay, so it's still earning well.
Still earning well. Good very deal. Well. And then basically tied with that, but just slightly more, Godzilla Premium.
Godzilla Premium. How about that?
Godzilla is a game that it's almost hard to keep the glass clean, because every time you're going around, like, taking care of stuff, there's always somebody on it. Like, well, I'll come back to that. You go and come back to it. There's somebody else on it.
It would almost be worth it to buy another one. And so you just, like... You keep one in the back clean, and then, you know, with a fresh flipper rebuild, new rubbers and everything, and then you pull it out, you take the old one out, put it in place, and then put the other one back in the shop for an overhaul.
Yeah. It's a spectacular game. People love this game.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, Jaws.
Number 2, Jaws?
Yes.
Wow. Not number 1?
Nope.
Okay.
It's really not even close to number 1.
Okay.
I mean, still, like, huge earnings relative.
So Jaws is doing it up.
Jaws is doing fantastic. This is good. No slight on Jaws. It's doing amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the number 1 spot...
Here we go. Drum roll. Are we about to hear number 1?
It is a BMF.
Oh.
Pulp Fiction.
I almost forgot about this game.
Man. So Pulp Fiction... is number 1.
Mm-hmm.
It did not break the Elton John earnings, but something to note is...
Okay, so Elton John, for those of you who may be listening for the first time, Elton John holds the record for 1 month...
For the highest month of all time earnings.
Okay.
And so it's for its first month, it did record-breaking earnings.
Okay.
Still earning very well.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between the two is that Elton John is on straight dollar play. Pulp Fiction is on 3 for 2.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm looking at the numbers, the amount of difference between Elton John's first place and Pulp Fiction's best month to date, which, you know, this is its first complete month.
Right.
That math accounts for... that difference. So it would have been, I think, play count, it's a tie.
That is fascinating. And Pulp Fiction is a fantastic machine.
Yes.
The applause go out to Mark Ritchie,
yes.
Josh Sharp, and all the other folks that brought that thing to us.
Yeah.
Stable machine.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had any issues with it other than, you know, just regular pinball maintenance stuff.
Yeah.
Which I guess I wouldn't call those issues. That's just life.
Wear and tear.
That's life of the silver ball.
Colin showed us the flipper, the secret flipper.
Yeah.
Get the Ezekiel mode going.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool.
Display, mm-hmm. Not really a mode.
Yeah.
That was very cool. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very
Pulp Fiction.
Very cool. And you mentioned something to me earlier today that this was the first time you had 4 machines in 1 month making like 4 digits. I don't know how you put it. I know you don't like to talk exactly about what kind of what the numbers are. And we can touch on that too, but what was the deal? You had like 3 like huge earners.
4 huge earners.
4 huge earners.
Yeah. Because usually we'll have 1 mm-hmm. or 2 machines, and then there's like those are the new machines, mm-hmm. and then there's kind of the normal drop off.
Right, right.
We had 4 incredible earning machines.
Yeah.
And then kind of the normal taper from there.
Pinball's growing.
Yeah.
It's insane.
The only conclusion that right. really you can come to is that there's just more people playing.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I was talking about for exact numbers, we had a comment on YouTube on one of the one of the podcasts or videos, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to know why we didn't give out exact numbers, because this particular episode was a earnings report from about 2 months ago, mm-hmm. and I asked you, and you had a great response. I think it might be time to let this person know, or anybody else know, why don't you give out exact numbers?
Was my response is because that was gauche?
Well,
I don't know.
It was partially that, but it was also.
It really depends on your area and what right, your community
you didn't want to give people the wrong idea, like and like because if they weren't making exactly as much as we are on one machine, we didn't want you to be let down because there's so many variables,
tons of variables, and we can talk about mm-hmm. that even mm-hmm. right now because we had. We have machine overflow, right? Mm-hmm. The floor is full, the back room is full, and we're running out of space. So it just so happened that
these manufacturers need to slow down. is what's going on. Seriously, take your time.
Yeah, no rush from
no
us.
No rush.
So a pool hall across the parking lot. We put a couple of machines in, mm-hmm. and we haven't done any advertising. We're not having any events. There's just 3 machines over there. It's right. just essentially 3 machines on location.
And this is great for us because it's just across the parking lot.
Yeah, we can just walk over there. But so the interesting parts to compare are that you have the exact same area, right? It's a few hundred feet away. Mm-hmm. Different businesses, different business models, different things going on. And we have earnings numbers. This will be our first full month, so we'll know more. But we've seen, mm-hmm. In 3 weeks what's happened, and it's virtually nothing.
Right, right.
Like, so the difference between having a couple of games at a bar versus having an arcade that you put your blood, sweat, and tears into, you market, you're there every day, mm-hmm. and you can, that people can really get into.
Right.
Makes a huge difference. So earnings reports are going to be just very different based on even that kind of information. Mm-hmm. We don't want people to have either too high or too low of expectations, depending mm-hmm. on where they are and what they're doing. So I think relative earnings is a much more valuable thing. Everything else is just kind of what's your salary, right? It's interesting, right. but it's not helpful.
Right, right. Another just A plus response from Rachel Best. Thank you very much. That was very good. You know, when we and we just put those 3 machines, it's at the Q and Brew.
If you're in town.
That's how we make more money. Go to the Q and Brew, put some money in our machines. But so there's the marketing for it.
Yeah.
But it's really more like storage, and it's really close by. And plus, what I really like is people are coming to tournaments going, hey, where did Godfather go? Oh, it's right across the street. And they're like, mm-hmm. oh, cool. So now they can go over there, grab a beverage, and which is cool because our business partners own that, so everybody can take advantage of this.
Yeah, and it makes it a good spot for non-tournament games that are still fun. Like, we put Whodunit over there because a lot of people love that game.
Right.
It's not great for tournaments, so we didn't want to have... You know, we only have room for so many non-tournament games on the floor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good solution, extra space, and that's what's up.
Fantastic.
Did you know that whenever we put... the machines over at the Q and Brew, there were some pinball machines over there, and there's an operator who's slowly getting out of the business.
He's been around since.
That's where I'm getting with this.
Right? Yeah.
So the machines that were over there, there were some electromechanical machines, and he's just kind of winding down into jukeboxes and things that make more money than a pinball machine, vastly more money than a pinball machine. And he had been operating pinball machines in the Q and Brew. And this is a friend of ours. This is somebody we know. So it wasn't like us, you know, pushing somebody out. He's been operating there since 1967.
Absolutely.
Isn't that the same
operator?
Can
you imagine what he's seen?
Oh, my gosh.
All the new in-box games.
We talk about it. So he bought a bunch of the original Bally's and always bought a second NOS playfield. So he has all these Bally's in his warehouse with still NOS playfields, and I'm working on that.
Yeah, we need to go check that out.
He's getting out of the business, and I'm going to get into those.
Very good. Right on. Well, I think that's all we have for today. Do you have anything else going on?
I don't have anything else going
Tournaments, events?
Tournaments and events every Tuesday, same old, and they're getting bigger and bigger.
Yep.
We love that. And Chewy's All Classics Bounty Knockout Tournament is the final Sunday of the month. So that's a couple of weeks away still.
Good deal. I think those are all going to be an absolute blast. And I will definitely show up.
A real peach of a time.
I'll tell you what. Right on. Well, thank you all for joining us. If you want to get in touch with us, you can hit us up on, you can DM us on Instagram. You can send us an email, electricbattlearcade@gmail.com. And also, make sure when you go to your local arcade, log in to Stern Insider Connected. We're using it all the time. We're getting all these very cool badges.
Yeah.
Download the app. Check out which badges are happening right now.
Put your name on the leaderboard.
Put your name on the leaderboard. We have our leaderboard at the arcade.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody always checks that out before they choose what game because they want to knock each other off.
Yes.
You know, we have, right now we have Faye at the top on Jaws.
No, she got beat by Nate.
Nate the Snake came in, snaked Faye.
Fatality.
How about that? So we have Nate, Faye, and then Colin McAlpine.
That's what's up on Jaws, as far as I know.
Go,
couple weeks left.
Go to Electric Bat, log in to Stern Insider Connected, and beat those folks, man, because they put up over a billion.
I think well over a billion.
Each one's over a billion. That was a lot of fun.
I do have one personal plea. Like, if there's anything that I can do to help American make a better, like, just if
are we still on the He-Man thing?
You have no idea what this is done. Like, this is all that's going through my head right now. And I truly want to be helpful in any way that I can. If there's any kind of testing that can be done, any kind of, like, just trying to work out code-ish, any kind of
okay, so it looks like actually, this is good because we're not ending the podcast right now. We're trying to fix American pinball. No, and I've heard you say this before. When we got such a horrible copy of Galactic Tank Force, I mean, they're all pretty bad, but ours was just unusable.
Yeah, that our first one was a lemon.
You were actually getting in touch with them going, let me help you make this a better game. So and that's a wash, you know. And then they came out with the barbecue game, which is horrible. You want to help them with He-Man.
I'll help them with any of them. I want these games. I want...
Even as a consultant?
For free.
Like, you'll
for free.
Sign NDAs all day long. I think a big... They're really living in a bubble and not listening to anybody else. Which is really sad. Because I don't know. You remember, we... We've hung out with Steve Bowden. Good. Like after after hours, hot tub action. He understands what a good game is, and I think he's been.
And he's a nice guy.
He's an amazing guy,
which may be part of the problem.
Right, and I think he's just in this bubble of what we're doing is fine.
Or you know, maybe just his niceness is not allowing him to say, "Guys, we need to make a left turn here."
Yeah, yeah. So, get in touch with Rachel, guys. She really wants to help you out and make all of this better. You could be the person that turns this company around. You could be the hero of the story.
I want to be the Skeletor. But that is a very serious offer. If there's anything that I can do with location stuff, I mean, anything to help. Let's get these mechs working. Mm-hmm. I can't recode your games for you, but I can tell you where they're messing up.
Yeah, yeah, good deal. So, what a nice offer.
I love He-Man so much.
I want to see you happy when you get a He-Man, one way or another. Okay, well, good deal. I think we're
on
we're,
that note.
We're done here.
We're done.
And thank you for listening, watching, all that good stuff. We will see you guys around. On check our Instagram,
yeah,
Facebook, and you know how to get in touch with us. The Discord's a great place for pinball discussion, and I would say the bats are out.
Bats are out.
What a good episode! I had a great time with you.
I had a great time with you.
This is good.
Yeah,
that is good. I like the new area.
The He-Man thing really threw me for a loop.
Is it?
I didn't know that. I should read more news, I guess.
I'll tell you what. I'll pull up the article and you can read it. Say, tell me what you think.
I've got to help these people.
And we'll take it to the Discord.
Oh, wow. I mean, I don't think people know. I have like a merman statue on our water.
You
want to
keep going?
Oh, are we still? Oh, sorry.
No, I'm down with it.
No.
I'm down with it. You're going to put your little toys in there. You're going to have a good time. You're going to be doing your He-Man codes, like some Easter eggs. Oh, man. I hope they don't screw this one up.
It made me cry.